Anxiety is high today among traders in Europe and around the world after the Swiss National Bank decided yesterday in a surprise move to end the cap on its currency, the Swiss franc. Within minutes of that announcement, the Swiss franc jumped 30% against the euro, causing huge losses for many. And today, the news that two brokerage firms have already declared insolvency and say they're going out of business because of this. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He's with us from New York with more. Derek, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Well, and let's start with the basics here. Why would a country cap its currency or peg it to another currency in the first place?
This story really begins 5 years ago when Greece and other European countries were thrown into debt crises and the future of the euro, the currency of the European Union, was very much cast into doubt. And so investors in this turmoil, looking for a safe place to put their money, looked to Switzerland, sturdy, trustworthy Switzerland, whose economy has always ticked with the precision of one of its famous clocks. So what happens when money pours into your currency? It's not always a good thing. And when the Swiss franc went soaring, it threatened to devastate the competitiveness of that economy, because Switzerland's economy relies on two things, exports and tourism. And when your economy relies on exports and tourism, you don't want an expensive currency. You want a cheaper currency that makes your exports cheaper and your hotels more affordable. So this is a long-winded way of saying that we jumped to 2011. The Swiss National Bank says we don't want our currency becoming too expensive. The euro might be collapsing. We need to find a way to cap the currency. They draw a line in the sand at 1.2 francs per euro. And for three or so years, this policy worked.
But then there was a hole in that plan, just like Switzerland's famous cheese. So why end the cap? Why now?
It's a bit of a mystery. The official explanation from the Swiss National Bank president, Thomas Jordan, is that the move was, quote, due to international developments. And we can surmise that he's referring to the European Central Bank, which is set to enact a new round of stimulus at the end of January. So in simpler English, this policy was basically about making sure that the Swiss National Bank could keep its currency at a good enough level so long as that policy was affordable. But they decided that if the ECB, if the European Central Bank, was going to print a lot of euros, this policy that had worked for 3 years was no longer affordable. And so they ended the cap, which came as a huge shock, not only to Swiss companies, but also to investors all around the world.
And two brokerage firms have already closed because of the losses, as we said, one in London, one in New Zealand. Is that a surprise?
It's an enormous surprise. Investors like certainty. They bank on certainty. They bank on the trustworthiness of central banks to cap their currency when they say, quote, we're going to cap our currency. So when Switzerland suddenly reversed course, it devastated investors with portfolios tied to the Swiss franc. The Wall Street Journal reported that Deutsche Bank and Barclays saw enormous losses. As you said, some brokerage firms have already closed because of losses due to these exposures. FXCM, the biggest retail foreign exchange broker in the U.S., and Asia traded down more than 80% in pre-market. So we're looking at just an across-the-board massacre of lots of stocks.
What does it mean for real people? There are winners and losers in situations like this. Who is this good for? Who does it hurt?
Right. Winners and losers. It's the losers here, in addition to the investors that we just talked about, are exporters. It's bad for companies in Switzerland selling their stuff abroad, and 40% of those exports are going to Europe. It's bad for anybody who has staked their future in the stable price of a Swiss franc. But this is also good for some people. It's good for Swiss families. Recall that the value of their currency, the value of the dollars they already have, is going up. So for workers in side of Switzerland who want to buy stuff made abroad, they've suddenly seen the value of their francs rise terrifically, 30-40% in one day. So it can be good for these families, but it remains to be seen whether these moves will hurt the Swiss economy to such an extent that it itself enters a recession, which will obviously be bad for families across that country.
But maybe we're going to start seeing a lot more Swiss tourists in this country now because they can get more for their dollars.
Right. Terrible, terrible for the Swiss tourism industry. Good for Swiss families that hope to be tourists in other countries. That's the way the currency moves like this work.
Derek, a few years ago, there was a lot of talk about whether the euro itself was going to come to an end because of the European debt crisis, whether maybe Greece would leave the euro altogether. Now, are you starting to see that kind of talk come back, especially with what's going on in Greece?
I think it's too premature to say that from this move, we know what's going to happen with the euro. It has been a safe bet to say, as a pundit, to put on repeat that the European Union and a lot of its certainly its peripheral countries are stuck in a kind of stagflation, that it will experience slow growth, near deflation, high unemployment. But I really think that this story is bigger than Europe. I think it's about the fact that we see the entire world stuck in what appears to be a kind of deflationary cycle. Recall, it's not just Switzerland that's had to fight the force of deflation, and not just Europe. It's also Asia that's had to worry about slow growth. It's the United States itself. And while America, I think, has had a pretty good run in the last year, we still see pretty low inflation. So what we're really looking at is the challenge of policymakers around the world to fight what appears to be a rather global stalking of this deflationary specter.
Are we really worried about deflation in this country with growth where it is, with job growth where it is, with the stock market doing as it is? People are talking about deflation in the United States, or are you talking about mainly in other countries?
Certainly, other countries have to worry about it more than we do. Certainly, European countries have to worry about it the most. But I wouldn't be too confident that we're out of the woods. You look to the drop in oil prices. You look to the fact that lots of countries around the world are struggling to grow. And the United States, even though it has an extremely strong domestic consumer economy, is still exposed to a lot of circumstances all around the world. I think it's too early to say that we know for certain that we won't have – that we're not flirting with deflation. And this is why I think you have a lot of more left-of-center policymakers or pundits, economists, saying that it's too early for the Federal Reserve to look at the last few quarters' GDP growth rates, too early for them to look at the unemployment rate right now, which is fairly low, pretty close to what most people consider the natural rate of unemployment, and say that we no longer have to worry about deflation. I do think that this continues to be not just a European problem, but a worldwide problem that we should pay attention to.
So what is the long-term impact of this? Is this something that's just going to last for a little bit and then the Swiss franc will go back down to where it was compared to other currencies, or is this here to stay?
I think it's certainly here to stay for the medium term. What remains to be seen, what people are really looking at, is what happens to the Swiss economy. This Swiss policy has worked extremely well for Switzerland. Switzerland has grown faster by GDP than the European Union every single year for the last 5 years. Mm. And two of those years include negative growth for the European Union. So the Swiss economy has been the envy of lots of countries around the world, and it goes to show that it is valuable to control your own currency. I do think, though, we're going to be looking at whether it sees higher unemployment because of this policy.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Derek, thanks as always.
Thank you.